putting it in practice means that we're going to make mistakes. And I see sex and intimacy and that kind of relationship as just the most incredible playground. And I think it's really, perhaps that sounds childish. That's the wrong word. It can be deep as well. And
dangerous, right? I'd say playground, yes, but dangerous playground as well, right? Like you could get burnt, you could hurt yourself, you could fall. It's not like with cotton padding, but then you know
yourself.
Jordan Peterson has called for a need to rediscover the spirit of the father. Many have been inspired to embark on their own hero's journey to set their life in order. But how do we balance order and chaos to live a life of meaning? What does it actually mean to be surrendered to God? And how do we root ourselves to stable ground as we witness the re-enchantment of reality? At Manifesto, we're engaged on a mission to rediscover and understand manhood, and from this foundation to create a dynamic and thriving community. My name's Paul. Welcome to Manifesto.
Welcome in to a roundtable with Manifesto. Today, we're going to be talking about sexual mastery, which is the title that we've given to a topic, which we're really seeing as a holistic approach to looking at our lives and being able to deal with the difficult, fiery, spicy aspects of how we're putting together a life of meaning and purpose here in Manifesto, and dealing with sexuality in a way that we found has been one of the central and vital aspects of the work we've been doing with Manifesto. So I'm really excited that we have four of our really exciting, interesting, inspiring men in different ages and different levels of experience that are joining us today and are going to be sharing some perspectives, some input, and then we're going to have some discussion following that. So I was thinking we'll start off we have Dietmar, who's a urologist doctor in Germany and talks to men pretty much every single day, often with very, very hands-on approach to talking about their sexuality and some of the problems that we've had, and really contributed a lot to Manifesto already in this regard and in men's work in Europe in general. And then I want to put up alongside him Richard, who is a coach and podcaster running a podcast called Man Reimagined. And then we'll see if there's a couple of comments and questions to take from that. And then after that, we're going to have Marty, who runs Brave Man or Dapper Man down in Holland, and Frederick Brumming, who is a guy here in Denmark who has taken a perhaps abnormal decision regarding his sexuality here in his life, which I think is really interesting and deserves a lot of respect as well. So, I think let's get it started. Dietmar, would you kick us off? The question that we're looking at is, what is sexual mastery? And how is it that we should approach sexuality as men looking together to put together a life of meaning and flourishing for ourselves?
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, it's a pleasure. When I talk to men about sexuality, and it's always an issue because they walk in and they feel a little bit ashamed about their topics they might have, I try to relieve a little bit, because sexuality is an important factor of man's health in general. We all know that during the sexual act itself, you'll have a massive flow of oxytocin, the hormone that we all know that makes us very happy. First time we meet this hormone is when we start sucking mom's breast, and then she will have a flow of oxytocin which gets into our blood system, and that's the first time we experience that, and we always want to have that again. And later on in our lives we get this feeling again when we have sexual activity. This oxytocin also has an impact on other systems in the neurobiological system. For example, the stress hormone cascade will be influenced by this as well. So we all know you'll have you'll be relaxed after sexual activity, but there is a late response as well. So there's a positive aspect of regular sexual activity to your general health. It'll decrease blood pressure. You'll be relaxed. The hormonal system will be in a good, steady state. Also, the immune system will be positively influenced by that. The immune response to various diseases will be increased if you have regular sexual activity. So that's the first approach, and that's something that we should all be aware of when we start thinking about, is it worthwhile talking about sexuality? Now, if we narrow it down into man's life and meaning and purpose, the next step really is, it gives you an idea about how you live your relationship. For example, if you as a man are able to explain your sexual desires and you're able to talk to your partner about what you really want, then you show yourself in a what I always call a strong, weak position, because that's something that you really need and that you have to receive from somebody else, and you put yourself into the arms of the other to be able to give that to you. That gives something like an exclusiveness to the relationship that you have to your partner. And it's very important to be able to communicate this and to look at all the aspects that are behind that. I had a guy who told me that he was whenever he had sexual contact to his woman, he was trying to please her. And it was very important for him to be pleasant and to do what she wanted, but not to cross any line, any red line, any border. But the other way around, he wasn't able to receive the same from her. Now, the interesting thing about that is he obviously had to be in control. And when you're in control, this is something that shows that there is an underlying fear of not being in control, and there must be a good reason for that. And that's something that opens up a space to really enter psychological reactive patterns of the man who's acting out his sexuality in this way. So that's the second reason where I think it's really important, because sexuality gives you an idea how you are able to really communicate and to live relationships. Because that you really have to open up in order to get what I call the exclusiveness into this relationship. And the third aspect that's very important, and I see a lot of men with this, is the question how you yourself, when you think about yourself being out of the relationship, how you deal with your desires. If you feel that there is a sexual desire, then many men tend to react with a wish of instant decompression. And one thing that we're all aware of is the use of porn, for example. That's an easy way to get decompressed, and you can do that. You can have all your desires. You don't have to talk to anyone about that, and you'll have an instant decompression. But that leads that has a narrow negative impact on your the way you look at yourself, because that's something you don't want to talk about, and that's something that you feel is wrong of your personality, and that's a negative circle that you get into. But that's an easy way to get the decompression, and the way out of that would be to look into sexual desires as a source of a very strong energy that you might be able to use in a different direction. So if sexuality is something that's a strong source of energy, then you might be able to look at this as an energetic topic rather than just the physical decompression. And you could try and channel this energy into something that's going into a different direction, which is then a relationship to the meaning that you're trying to put into your life. These are the three topics that always appear when I talk to men about sexuality. And I think it's very important, because that's the holistic approach. You'll have the medical impact, the physical impact, the psychological impact, and then there's this overarching question: who are you? What are you willing to do? What's what are you willing to achieve in your life? And you can use the sexual energy to catalyze that.
Yeah.
So that's it for me now at this point, and I'd like to hand over to Rich or to you again, Paul.
Thank you very much, Dietmar. And yeah, just really inspiring that there's a person in the kind of European medical system which is looking at these things all the way from that basic physical level, but then taking it up to that holistic level as well of the human relating and human being and able to bring those things together. That's really appreciated. And I think Rich is especially focused on those levels of humanness as well. So I think it fits in perfectly for him to take up the ball here. So over to you, Richard.
Yeah, I'd love to try and build on what Dietmar has just shared. He basically summed up most of the things that I wanted to say. So I'll try and add it from a personal experience. And again, to echo what you said, that there's a doctor operating in the system that's aware of these pieces as well. I'd love to start off with the idea that I think Dietmar finished on, which was that if we look at mastering sexuality or our sexual energy, then it will be helpful to do it from a place of looking at how you're using this energy in your life rather than looking to literally ejaculate it or push it into something or someone and to release it. And so these ideas of that come from yogic kind of disciplines of holding back, you know, there are the practices and there's particular work you can do in yoga that is designed, these Oli mudras that are designed to help you actually work with the energy that builds up in you when you withhold from ejaculation from a longer period of time, because they recognized it as being a very powerful thing. And again, to reference yoga, it's just a thousands of years old system that also understood that without the kind of grounding that we need as men in particular, then this energy will leak out in different ways. And so to introduce this word of a container that we need to then build for ourselves. So how do we, on our daily lives, remain grounded and have this kind of like clear thread of direction and purpose that we don't get as easily distracted from? And to use this kind of potent energy that we have inside us to actually to do something of impact and to create. So that's just another way of looking at of sexual mastery, rather than the kind of classic understanding of, well, how do I have an excellent time in bed? Because for me, the danger of that, not to echo the points that Dietmar made around trying to please a woman and seeking validation a lot of the time, seeking safety, it's... I've lost my thread. Oh no. My key point just completely left me in that moment. That's a shame.
I think it's an excellent, Richard, could I ask you to go get back to you? You started by saying you could illustrate with a bit of your personal story as well. So I think you made an excellent point there as well, which I thought summed up a lot of what Dietmar said, but would you mind bringing in a bit of like how, of your journey? And what's how you've been looking at that container and helping to direct things and some of the difficulties maybe that have been on that way. Yeah.
Sure. And thanks for picking up the thread. It's frustrating when the main point I was trying to make just evaporates when you're doing a recording. So be it. So I'm a recovering nice guy. I think a lot of men are familiar with that trope, that idea that we seek validation. We're very insecure. This avoiding conflict, but that also means avoiding saying what we want and need, and that really shows up in bed as well. And so touch is a love language of mine, and I've always shown up in bed happily, but then I would quickly become attached to this woman that I was intimate with purely through intimacy or sex, I should say, because I've now come to realize that they are not necessarily the same thing. And so I spent a good chunk of my life being stuck in relationships and just chasing not just sex, but that sense of safety that I would find in what was to me sort of perceived intimacy. And then eventually the women would kind of, you know, get a bit tired of this and seek a stronger man. They could be stronger women. They might not need that me to be that, just play that role, but they would definitely get tired of that. And so in between, I would find myself constantly approaching unavailable women in terms of emotionally and just being sucked into that dynamic of giving them time and space in the hope that I would find safety, and but not even declaring that I liked them and then continually being friend zoned. And I'm sure a lot of men can resonate with this. And instead of just saying what I wanted and being willing to receive rejection, you know, so there's a self-worth piece in here as well. And then I would act out and find release quite literally through porn and in other ways that were just very, very unhealthy, but they met that need. And so they then became quite addictive. And so, you know, me lecturing earlier about this sense of creating a container comes from a life-changing realization for me and me learning to do that more and more and better and better. And of course, other issues around healthily expressing my needs and healthy communication with women and men has led me to, being a very cool relationship with a woman, and the previous one felt healthier. And so I'm much more in control. That perhaps that's a Freudian slip and deep marker jump in, but I'm much more in control of my own destiny and what I'm doing. And most importantly, to wrap up, she's not the goal. And if I can reference David Deida for a moment, this beautiful idea of like, we are as men, that the kind of ship chartering a course across the ocean. There needs to be a sense of direction, that the woman, the feminine, is the ocean itself. But we need to find our bearings in this place and not kind of revolve around that kind of that space too long, and be have a sense of purpose and whatever that takes. And that's why men's work, it feels so important, because men can actually find that through each other and then do the amazing things in a healthy way with their partners.
I certainly think that's a great metaphor. If you try to navigate by the ocean, then you'll tend to get lost. The ocean is a wild and dangerous and deep thing. You need to find a star that you can navigate by, right? And then that gives you a chance to find your way through. I've always kind of seen women as these wild and dangerous things that need to be dealt with as a wild and dangerous thing in many ways. So that's a bit of a theme. But Dietmar, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what Richard said.
Well, looking at the metaphor, I think if you just look behind me, you can see the light that we all need when we're traveling overseas, when we're the ship crossing the ocean and we're trying to navigate around the ocean, being the woman or the partner. Then we really need to have this light that guides us, and it has to be inside ourselves. And that's I think, it's very important to realize for every man that all the problems that they experience with their sexuality, they're all guiding towards the inner self. And for example, the guy that I quoted with being in control, there is something that he fears of himself, something that he wants to, and something that's really burning inside. But he fears that she might dislike it, or that it's not socially accepted. And it's the huge step that you then take is to realize that's part of me, and maybe it needs to be changed a little bit. But the first thing is, I need to realize it's part of myself. I need to talk about that and then see how she reacts. And that puts you into the stronger position, and that really gives you the opportunity to be in touch and in contact with your core. And I realized that sexuality is a great topic really to find the way to be able to look at yourself, because it's so important, and nobody wants to live without sexuality.
Not sure that we can. Any questions, guys, for these two before we move on to our next speakers?
Yeah, I have a question, especially because Dietmar just said sexuality is something that no one can really live without. And I personally have had a period where sexuality hasn't played a big role. And one way to explain it is to say I've channelized that energy successfully into my work, and then it's not really there in the bedroom anymore. But I wonder if that's a healthy thing, or whether I've done too much of sublimation, and how to find the healthy balance here so that you can still really enjoy sex and love sex, but have a lot of energy for your work as well.
Yeah. Let me reply on that one. We're talking about sexuality as a general topic, so not about intercourse or sexual activity with a partner. So your aspect of the sexual energy is very important, I think. That's what Rich just quoted. But my approach to this, if I have somebody trying to convince me that he doesn't need to act out sexuality, he just wants to feel the energy, is this is just not healthy. Okay. First of all, I'm not a biologist being able to explain why this is narrowed down into your neurobiological system. But as a medic, not being sexually active is just not healthy. So if you have the feeling that there is sexual energy, it's very good to be able to work with it and maybe to direct this energy into some kind of work that you're doing. But it's also very important just to be aware of the fact that it's the best thing to share with your partner, because you will have all these neurobiological positive aspects, and you will have an exclusive relationship if you work it that way. And that's another aspect that's important for men's lives. We're not lonely wolves anymore. We need to be in a relationship.
Do you have a take on that, Richard?
No, I won't take up any time by trying to add on what Dietmar said. I thought that was really well spoken. I noticed a couple of men have got their hands up, so maybe we can make space for that.
I didn't see that, but yeah. Yeah, good. Alex, let's hear from you.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask each of you, and I know it's a really big question, so I don't expect you to have the answer just there, and sort of just a short sort of insight perhaps, but what does sexual mastery look like for you? So Dietmar and Rich, if you were to say, well, when I've reached sexual mastery, this is what I've accomplished, this is where I am.
That's a tough one, Alex, but nothing else to be expected from you, really. For me, the biggest step was to introduce sexual energy and the awareness of sexual energy being present into my daily routine. So when I wake up in the morning and I do my mini workout, a little bit of yoga, and afterwards I do my journaling, I always realize that there is this massive source of energy inside of me. And I tell myself or make sure that that's something that needs to be used in a positive way. So I can, that really drives me through the day when I'm on my mission with the work that I'm doing. But also it's something that I really want to share with somebody else, but in an exclusive way. And if it doesn't work out that way, then I'd rather keep it as my source of energy than just spreading it away. But I'm not a master. I must admit here as well.
Thanks, Dietmar.
So I'm going to do that cheeky thing where I answer your question with a question. Not to throw it back at you, but again, to reference something that I learned from my yoga teacher. How's your life? You know, like if you look around, what's the quality of your interactions? Like what's the quality of your emotional kind of bandwidth? You know, like how's your intimacy levels with your partner? How's your level of desire to get up in the morning and actually do the thing? Do you have a thing? You know, these are kind of great questions to ask yourself to kind of check in with that. You know, do you need to kind of retreat and come to back to yourself and actually learn to build that container and just do you for a bit? Or is it time to step out and actually show up a bit more and spread some of that energy in a healthier way? So that would be my response to that question. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm going to take my opportunity to use my role here to add something in as well, because I also want to actually disagree with Dietmar, which is a dangerous thing to do disagree with the doctor in the room. it's a combination of the question that Achille asked and Alex asked, because I actually think there are plenty of examples of people who can reach a stage of sublimation of their sexual energy that can actually do that in a very healthy way. So I think we do see plenty of examples of repression of life force creative energy, which leads to all kinds of, you know, unhealthy situations. And then I think that ultimately sexual energy is a drive towards life and towards creation. And I think that there are plenty of men out there who, you know, have sex very irregularly, but are living very, very full, wholesome, and creative lives, and don't actually engage in physical sex that often, and have much less of a need for doing that. And maybe if they stopped with, you know, their work and their other creative activities, then they would need that more creative, that more kind of physical sexual outlet. But I actually believe that you know, physical engagement and sex is just one level that one can engage as an output of that. What it leads to is like a kind of a connection, a deep joining with another human being, which leads to a sense of transcendence. And that's actually the deeper need. And if you're getting that need fulfilled in your relationship, in your work, in everything that you're doing. And I know some people who in their work life have just constant sense of synchronicity and things falling into place and the world kind of fitting together. And I think that that is an experience that it's easy to kind of like convince yourself you're having this and be spiritually bypassing, of course. But I actually do believe that there is a path, and this is for me, sexual mastery is the path of reaching that sense of transcendence in higher and higher ways somehow. Yeah. So I'll let you guys have an opportunity to answer that, or maybe we can take Stefan's question as well, and then dive more into that before we take the next two speakers. What do you guys say? Do you have any comments immediately on that?
Yeah, I don't think there is the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree that that might be a way, but I think it's really, really, really hard to get there, mm-hmm. And it's. I think it's dangerous when it's misunderstood, because if you look at the Catholic Church, for example, you know, you have a complete negative result on suppressing sexual energy. And I think it's very important to distinguish between that. If you suppress that because you think it's a good way of spirituality to suppress this energy and try and modify that and use it differently, then you'll end up doing, well, stuff that's, it's just not healthy and not good. And if you think this to the end, then what about the human being? I mean, what about mankind if you don't use sexuality for intercourse and trying to really get into a relationship that's, as you said, transcendent, and you need a transcendent relationship. If you want to, for example, raise a family, it's a very good start to have a transcendent relationship to a partner and then have kids and do that bit. So I'm just trying to say, yeah, that's a good point. And I can subscribe to that. But mm-hmm. I've seen so many people trying to suppress that and then going towards the wrong direction. I think it's very important to make sure that there is this energy and you can use it in various ways, but it has to be a constructive way and a creative way. That's my reply to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it, Richard.
It's to piggyback on that. I think the Dietmar is completely right. And some of the practices that I mentioned, you know, they're not widely known, and then people pick them up and then start teaching them as kind of neo-tantra. And there's lots of interesting things happening in that space, but there's also a lot of misuse of sexual energy. And I guess just to highlight how potent and powerful it is, and how today there are so few examples, public examples at least, of people doing that well, managing that energy well in a way that it had been done in the past. I think we're living in a different time. And so I think Dietmar's point's really spot on. There's a real danger of, you know, diving off piste and misusing that, and we find ourselves in all kinds of trouble. So if you're going to start messing with that and really diving into that side of working with that energy, then you better have the right support and motivation and container, again, dare I say, to do it.
Yeah. Maybe one could say that a vital element is having a group of men or a teacher who does it well themselves, preferably not a commercial relationship between you as well, I would say, because that's the massive use of abuse as well that Rich is talking about. But a container of accountability and integrity and a shared aspiration, that's at least some of the requirements. I think watching YouTube videos or going to some like 8-week, become a sexual ninja course, it's a very dangerous path to go down. But certainly, I think what you started with, Richard, saying, you know, there are these very, very old traditions, wisdom traditions, which have to a certain extent been lost and drowned out in kind of like our over-sexualized, hyper-sexualized, individualized, commercialized culture as well. But I think that part of what the work we're doing in Manifesto is trying to reconnect to some of that wisdom as well. Okay, good. Let's hear from Stefan, and then we'll see what comes out there, and then we'll go to the next two speakers as well.
Thanks. You both suggested that while having sex, it's not the goal to please her. And I totally agree with that, but I was just thinking, what is actually my goal while having sex? And I'm not too sure about it, so I'd like to ask a question to you. What is your goal while having sex, if you're comfortable talking about it?
I'll answer briefly and shortly, just to make the distinction of sexual mastery versus like intercourse and sex in itself. And I'd like to hear what Marty says, because he's more experienced in this area, and he's been further down that track than I have, definitely. So I'm curious to hear what Marty says to that idea. But what I meant to say was that when my sole goal is about pleasing her, then I put my needs to one side. And of course, there are moments when we focus on one person's pleasure. That's beautiful. And then we can switch. And so we're not stuck in roles. And then we can, so that there's a beautiful idea of exchange there. As long as both people can learn how to give and receive and play that masculine and feminine pole. And that's really polarity. That's exciting. So not in my relationship, I couldn't, I was obsessed with giving and I couldn't receive. Mm-hmm. That's super unhealthy. So that's what if you're coming from that space, then you being obsessed with pleasing her, so to say, is not healthy. But I'd love to take the word goal out of sex, and I'd love to relabel it as an exploration, because sex ultimately, if we're not trying to have children, then we're seeking intimacy and we're seeking connection. And so if you come at it from that perspective of curiosity and openness and vulnerability, then and diving into your dark sides when there's enough safety and trust built, it can be an amazing time. It wasn't quite as short as I planned, but
I want to challenge that a little bit, Richard. Why do you separate out having children with intimacy and connection? Because for me, that's even more powerful engine towards intimacy and connection is creating a life together and that kind of commitment that requires. That's a strange thing to remove those two things from each other.
No. Where I was coming from was that every time I have sex, I don't plan to have children. I can't afford that. So absolutely can you have connection and intimacy, probably and I hope the deepest version of it in sex, because this fucking means something. We're going to create a life right now. So quite the opposite, Paul. I think that's the most deepest sense of intimacy.
We agree.
Possible. Yeah, okay. Dima?
Not much to add. Important, Stefan, you understand that I'm not saying that it's not good to please somebody. Okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just wanted to find a direction towards the underlying psychological pattern that was behind that guy's intention to please. Of course, it's about pleasure, giving, receiving, but there is no goal. But I think a sexual relationship is something that can add, transforming extra to the relationship that you're having. But that's only one part of sexual energy, once again. So if I get you right, you're asking, why do you have sex? I think the best intention is really to have to spend a great time together, to please each other, and add something which is exclusive and transforming towards the relationship that you're having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that okay? Thanks for that. I think I just got hooked up on that one word with not having a goal, and was like, okay, should I have a goal now? But it's all right. Thanks for clarifying.
Great. Good. Thanks, guys. Okay. Then I'm going to say thank you very much to you, Dietmar, and Richard. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll hear more from you guys in the conversation coming up if you feel so inspired. Now we're going to bring in two more guys, Marty and Frederick. And Marty, what have you heard so far? What stood out for you? And what would you like to bring to the conversation?
Mm. Yeah, it was great to hear the discussion and to see, yeah, so many things that are familiar. And yeah, a lot of things already have been spoken to, and I would love to dive deeper into that. The first thing what was talked about was the energy, how to flow the energy, and what Dietmar said as well, like when he in the morning did his practices, his exercises, that he felt some energy within himself. And is that good or not? And what I think the mastery is also to allow you to feel that energy. And for me, the sexual energy is also a life energy force that's within you. And what you said, Paul, it's also enabling, giving life. It's life energy, and you can give new life, create life, but it's also the energy, life energy within yourself. And what Stefan was asking about, what is the goal? If the goal is to get somewhere in sex and to ejaculate or whatever, then you go somewhere and spoil your energy instead of feel how the energy within yourself can flow, and from there feel how you can create and manifest something in this world. That's the same energy you need for that to put something in this world. And instead of when you feel that energy, when you see something beautiful, and that can be a flower, that can also be a sunset, but also a beautiful feminine creature, that you enjoy it instead of, oh no, that's not allowed, that I enjoy it. Yeah, you can feel the energy of all those things and take it in and use it as nature, natural energy that is fueling your system. And without having to do anything with it, just feel how the universe is providing you with energy. And so that's more the general energy you can feel from what is life giving you. And when it goes a little bit deeper, a little bit more specific into the connection with a woman, it can be all whatever your preference is. Most men do have a masculine core, and most women do have a feminine core. And talking about the what Dietmar and with the pleasing, and Richard was talking about the recovering nice guy, and I'm one as well. And then there's a kind of attachment, and there's no attraction there. And when as a man you go to your masculine core, okay, this is who I am, instead of trying to please her, this is what I am, then the woman can go to her core, and there's an attraction there, because you go out of each other and go from your own core, instead of trying to do the right thing. You're just here. You state your desire, hey, I want to connect with you. And when you connect from there with the woman, then you can really open your heart. And from there, being together, instead of what a lot of men know, porn, Richard and Dima told about porn, yet what you do there is that you go to a goal and use the woman as something on which you can do all kind of things instead of opening your heart and go to a connection with each other from there. And what you said, Paul, is the transcends. You can feel, you can let the energy flow together and come in a state you cannot come. I think it's impossible to get there on your own. Whatever you do, you have to be there together with each other and find the sweet spot of your energy and let it flow together. That is another layer. And if you can feel that energy within you, you can put that energy into the world. And if you know where your purpose is, okay, I can take that energy and put my purpose in the world and manifest it. And that's how the sexual mastery is helping you to put your purpose into the world. You're muted, Paul.
I just realized. Thanks, Marty. Yeah. Great. Thanks for that. Yes, I think that's a good pouring point. So yeah, Frederick, you have a different perspective on all of this. Do you want to give us your views?
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, very interesting to listen to these thoughts, and I'm not sure I understand some of these ways of thinking are a bit new to me. Not sure where to start, but I'm a little bit unsure why we're calling this sexual mastery still, even after hearing the different definitions. And to me, it sounds more like life mastery. I don't quite see. I mean, I see there's a connection between energy and sexuality, but yeah, I'm just I'm still a little confused about why we use that term for this. But maybe somebody can speak to that afterwards. But yeah, for me, I definitely agree that what's been said on the purpose of sex as a tool for seeking intimacy and building relationship. And for me, being a Christian, I think the biblical perspective of this brings that to the highest level possible, because it as most people know, Christianity talks about only one relationship, only one sexual partner, and kind of supercharges this ability to build intimacy and relationship if that sexual energy that we're talked a lot about is only directed, or maybe not the sexual energy, but the container for building intimacy and relationship is solely directed to one person and is not shared or has been shared with many partners throughout life. And this is one of the main reasons why I have subscribed to this doctrine, so to speak, of waiting with sex until marriage. And I'm still unmarried, and I'm 31 years old, and so that means I haven't had intercourse with a woman ever in my life, and it's not an easy thing, but it's also, I do believe that in the long term there is a greater gain to be had from being able to give, so to speak, the whole pie to my future wife, whoever she is. I don't know if I've met her yet. I don't have a girlfriend at the moment. So that's some thoughts. I'm not sure I could speak to a lot of things, but maybe I'll pause there.
Well, thanks, Frederick, for putting yourself out there. Maybe I just asked, so you can recognize what Dietmar's saying about the dangers of the path that you're on, I assume, and you've experienced some of the things that he was speaking about. Is that correct? Like, does that make sense to you, what he's saying?
The dangers of what, sorry?
Well, I guess what we kind of identified was suppression of sexuality. And not having an outlet for those forces in your life? Or do you feel you have an outlet for those forces in your life?
It's a good question. It's quite a deep question. I know that those desires and the energy or the force that is in that is definitely present in my life. And I do not have a woman that I can direct that to. And it has definitely in the past been directed towards pornography. And that is definitely, I very much agree with the views that has been expressed about porn here. And how that breaks us down as men, and twists our views of what sex is. But I think I'm trying to identify what it is that in my life that I direct this life or sexual energy towards, and I agree, definitely agree with something you said earlier about meaningful relationships and intimate relationships. I think you also meant they can be between friends. Also, it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. I'm not quite exactly sure how to respond to this.
Well, Marty, do you want to dive in here? Otherwise, I can try and answer Frederick's question. But I want to give you first such opportunity, Marty, if you have more you want to add or reflect on what Frederick is saying.
Well, I'm really curious about what he was telling about your question about the suppression. And what I was referring to as well, like how do you react? And that's not especially for you, Frederick, but everybody. How do you react when you feel the energy of what nature is offering you? And I mentioned a flower or a sunset, but also a woman. And without having to do anything with it, like keeping your virginity towards the one woman you feel you're going to meet and to have this connection with. But still, in the meantime, you can see something. And what does it do with you? And how do you react? Does it respond like, oh, no, I don't, that's not allowed, that I can feel that, I should put that away, but that's because that's not my womb? Or is that, okay, that's what nature is giving me, and that's what I feel. And in the meantime, I just let it go. I only feel the energy. I feel the connection and let it go, or are you pushing it away? And everything that is pushed away, I think it will come up on another way into your life, on a way you don't want it, on a moment you don't want it, and get out on a kind of frustration. And I'm really curious how that is in your life, how you
Great. Good question. Can I just for clarification ask, just because I'm not really used to this energy terminology. Are we, when you'd say, for example, you see a woman, are we talking about like feeling horny, or what exactly are you, or like, what is it you exactly you mean?
that it can be when you're just on the street going to the supermarket and you pass by a woman and you think, oh, wow. And that you think she's really attractive. And I can imagine that when you go to a pub and you had some drinks, that the atmosphere is totally different. And then you can have the same, oh, you're gorgeous. But let's talk about just a supermarket, that you feel, wow, ooh, wow, there's a kind of attraction.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can speak to that. Because that is something that has definitely, my thinking around this has evolved over time, where for a long time I saw it as a problem, you know, like as a, you know, I have to push this down, or like this is sinful, this is bad. Where after realizing that, okay, this like seeing a woman and finding her attractive is the way God created me. He created me as a man, and he created beauty, is what I believe. And so the thought, or the question is more, my immediate reaction shouldn't be to suppress that, but it should also be like, I can appreciate that. And then what I try to do is I try to personify the woman. So instead of trying to like fall to the temptation of trying to objectify her and think all sorts of scenarios, or trying to fantasize about or stripping her naked in my thoughts, for example, instead of doing that, I try to sometimes I try to just build a small story about, oh, she's probably going to her mom's place to to have tea with her mom or whatever, like to make her a person. And just, I also express gratitude in prayer, like internal in prayer to God, and just say, wow, God, she's very beautiful. Like, I'm just acknowledging it. And then if I can feel that I want to fantasize about it, then I try to personify her instead. Mm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And to add on that, you were asking about the energy. What you say now is that you make a story not to blame yourself and not to suppress it or whatever. What I think what's happening there is that something is resonating with you at the moment. Eh? Just the woman when you're walking through the supermarket, and that you feel that in your belly, in your lower belly. And what's happening in our society is that very quickly this is made sexual, and then it goes to the front, to the outside world, the objectification what you have. But instead of, hey, there's something in my underbelly, I have to do something with it. No, there's something in my underbelly, and I can feel it. Okay, thank you God, thank you universe, and go on. But there is something activated within me, and I can put that into life. And it was a beautiful woman that you created. That's nice.
Yeah.
Without the objectification of doing something with it, but only feeling that within yourself. And that's what I meant with the energy. Oh, it's just there.
So what part of what we're I mean, the reason why we call it sexual mastery is because a lot of us have become slaves to our sexual impulses. And so we're drawn by things that happen outside of us and you know, impulses that we receive, and then we just kind of follow them. And of course, if we get in a very negative, full of shame and negativity relationship to that, then it becomes, it actually gives it more power a lot of the time. So I want to go back and try to answer Frederick's question a little bit. And I think to do that, I actually need to go back to the very first thing that Dietmar was talking about, which was oxytocin. Because I think he very rightly says this is where a lot of our sexual kind of the first taste of sexuality, our sexual impulses are formed, is with the relationship with the mother's breast. And what it really is a feeling of being one with the mother. Of course, when you're inside the womb, then you are one with the mother in pretty much every practical way. And so there's this kind of, you know, deep intimacy and togetherness of being one with another being, which feels incredibly good. And then you receive that as a small infant as well, as your child. And so oxytocin, it's like the feel-good hormone, as Dietmar says, but it's also, you know, a lot of people, they take all kinds of psychedelic substances that increase the level of oxytocin in the brain, which makes them feel even one with the entire universe. So this is this idea of transcendence of the individual. And so sexuality is this way, is a direct pathway into transcendence of yourself. It's a way. And so if you ask me, what's the goal of sexuality? Well, the goal of sexuality is to transcend yourself. It's to be joined with another person. And you do that in a very physical way, in that you're actually physically inside another person. Or if you're a woman, there's another person who's physically inside of you. So you become joined in that way. And then the even more powerful and slightly more longer term expression of that is that it creates actually new life. And so it creates life outside of yourself, and you're transcending to, you know, human individuals and creating another human individual that's somehow a combination of those two people. And so for me, the question of sexual mastery needs to take this into account and to think, well, I have this power inside of me, and how am I managing it? And how am I, you know, administrating it in a way that's directing it towards actually creating life? Because we see so many people where their sexual energy is actually just, you know, creating misery or confusion or chaos. And certainly I've been in many different communities where there's a very free and open expression or approach to sexuality. And it's seen any kind of attempt to limit sexual impulses, it seems, oh, that's suppression, and we have to stop that. We're not allowed to suppress sexual energy. And what does this lead to? Well, it means that people very often get strongly and powerfully attracted to each other, and they jump into bed with each other, and they have sex with each other. And it causes a lot of chaos and confusion and drama in their lives. It ruins relationships and just like, yeah, ultimately it leads nowhere as well. And so I think this is something we need to take very seriously. It's like, okay, well, how do we create structures in our lives that can help us to administrate our sexual energy in a way that's responsible, and that leads us to flourishing for ourselves and for those around us, and which isn't also sucking the life out of our own soul. And that's not an easy thing. It's like balancing on a knife edge, actually. It sounds okay, well, oh, I just have to like go the middle path, but it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And what I find is it takes a constant engagement with life and having courage to meet everything. The beautiful woman coming down the street. Personally, Marty, to tell you the truth, if I see a beautiful woman and she wants to talk to me, I hold a lot of distance, not because I'm suppressing something in some kind of negative way, but just because I know it's very easy for me to get attracted to that woman, and it will take away from the amazing depth that I can experience with my wife. And that's why I want to focus all of my sexual energy. So I don't engage my sexual energy with random women that I meet, or women that I meet in work situations. I actually really avoid, if there's a beautiful woman who pops up in my working circles, I will not sit in a room with her by myself. I will avoid that situation because I know that there'll be attraction there, and it's very easy to go into all kinds of like subconscious signals, and women are much better at that game than I am as well. And so they could sometimes play with my very masculine, whatever it is, right? So I reserve this and I avoid any situation that can lead me into that kind of stuff. And that's what I found is best for me. Maybe because I've had a life of a lot of chaos on that front as well. So I'll give you guys an opportunity to respond to that. And then I want to bring Richard and Dietmar back in as well for any comments they can have. And we'll also open up, guys, if you have questions, feel free to put it into the chat as well. But I'll let you guys respond to that.
I like to react on that, Paul. Two things that came up to me. First thing, what you said at the end, like keeping a kind of distance. And that is what feels to me like when you wouldn't do that, then there could be a kind of objectification and a kind of attraction where you're not waiting for. And that is keeping the energy to yourself. And when you're just passing by someone, then you're not turning towards that person. You're just keeping all your energy with yourself. And that's what I hear from you as well. And next to that, what you said about all the the communities you were talking about were all kind of things. Where it goes wrong or where it can go right has to do with communication. Communication two ways. Communication with the other. How to state what you want and what you want to do and how you're going to do it, and the honesty to look towards yourself, what you're feeling and what your real and true desire and longing is, and your fear as well. Like when you're stepping onto someone, asking for something, that you're willing to take the rejection as well. Hey, this is where I am. Am I starting to be the nice guy because I'm afraid of the rejection, or am I really, really be there? So that the honesty towards yourself and towards the other is really important. So that's my reaction on what you were saying there as well. And that's a practice and something to master as well, that kind of honesty. Next to that, the other point is referring to the question of Frederick, is about the goal and how beautiful it is that you can create life. And there's a lot of life created when a man and a woman have intercourse to create a new life, and they don't have to be connected. They can both be on the same, on their own level, and just feeling each other without being connected. Then they think they are on a really energetic, spiritual way, that they just have a body connection without really being energetically connected. And it creates life as well, but it doesn't mean that when you're creating life that you're always connected as the way you could be. That's my that's how I feel it. So and if you're then talking about a goal, yeah, that's to be really connected on a spiritual way, that's the goal for me.
But I think one of our core problems in our society is we separate the body from the soul or the mind or the whatever. We split ourselves, and then we say, oh, this is just the body. And I think it's one of our major issues in our society is that we've split ourselves in this way, and we don't actually see ourselves as an integrated, holistic whole. You can't separate the body from the psyche. It's not possible. You can try, and what you do is you'll kill the one or the other. Actually, you'll end up, you know, being a spiritual zombie, or you'll end up being sick in your physical body.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens when you separate those two things, especially in your sexuality. These things need to be seen holistically and together. But let's hear Frederick, and then we're going to bring Richard and Dietmar back in.
Well, I'll just say that I'm starting to understand why we call it sexual mastery. I don't have too much else to add.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'm sure Dietmar and Richard do. So let's bring them in here. And guys, questions in the chat if any of you have any as well.
Yeah, maybe I can say something to the case of Mr. Brumming. Frederick, thank you very much for sharing this. I think it's that's really interesting what you just shared. And I think one thing that we really need to highlight here is that, you know, even though you did not have any experience with real sexual intercourse, you just told us that you react in this supermarket situation. So you see this nice woman coming out and you react to that. And usually what happens in with regards to neurobiology, we react emotionally to something that reminds us of something that we've experienced in the past. So when you have, that's pretty obvious in trauma patients. You know, if you had traumatic experience and then that's far in the past and you get into a situation which is kind of similar, then you react in the same way. That also applies to positive situations. So what I'm trying to say here is this attitude towards being attracted by a good-looking woman is something that's really, really, really nailed down in our neurobiological system. So somewhere in the limbic system where you just react, you get this emotion, there's a firework that wires together, and then you just react to that. And the way that you deal with it is that you fantasize stripping her off naked. So that's something which is really showing that there must, there is something that you haven't experienced yet, but what you're aiming for. I think that's very interesting to realize that there's that this is really localized inside us, and that's never going to be changed, I think. But looking at sexual mastery, if we now look at your case and we take the another perspective and look towards you, then we would say this is Frederick, and let's just draw the circle around him. And one way of being sexually active would be to have intercourse. Well, you haven't done that, but you have been sexually active, because there's other ways of expressing or dealing with that energy. It might have been in your case that you were using porn to deal with your sexual energy, but that's a way of being sexually active as well. But as we all agree, if this is your way of being sexually active, then you will just you won't really use or take a positive use of the energy that's inside you. So sexual mastery would be to realize that there's this energy that you've just experienced passing by this woman in the supermarket, and then just take note of this energy, make sure you realize it's there, and then transform that into something that is much more productive and creative than just watching a porn video. And yet as well, you can save one part of your sexual activity towards the woman that you're waiting for, in order to get this transforming part into the relationship that you're aiming for. That's my take on that one.
Makes sense.
I'll jump in again to piggyback on Dietmar's input. What I'm noticing is, what I'm hearing in this conversation is that sexual mastery is probably going to look different for different people depending on their backgrounds. And that's quite an important thing to highlight. There's no step one, step two, sheep dip process towards sexual mastery. It doesn't work like that. I mean, Paul shared how he needs to, and it might sound extreme to some, but he needs to distance himself from women because he knows the potential of how that can go. And I think that speaks to integrity, and it speaks to an awareness of how he can behave, and he's just shutting that down. And that doesn't mean that he has no ability to kind of appreciate a woman walking down the street at all. There's a big difference. I'm getting that there's a clear difference there. If we look at sex before we get to the place where it's kind of super conscious and intimate and a beautiful thing, sex is essentially a perverted expression of our unmet needs. And that's how we meet those needs. It's like that in the most perverted form, if we really look at ourselves, but we don't look at ourselves. And so we jump in. And so I think it's really all about knowing oneself first, and knowing oneself and how they show up around women is, it's part of, for me, of like life's mystery. And I'm really struggling with, I respect Frederick's choice, but I'm struggling with that decision, because for me, despite the ups and downs and the stresses, like I wouldn't change anything. Because now I have finally at 42, like a really strong awareness of how I use my energy, what that actually is, and how I throw it about, and how I also shouldn't. And even last night, I'm teaching here at a retreat. And I sat down and was trying to connect with a particular woman until I realized why I was doing it. You know, she's married, she's got a kid, I'm in a relationship. And yet there was some kind of unconscious part of me seeking to do this thing that I often do. And I'm aware, got it. And I stepped out of that without needing to make a scene, without needing to acknowledge it with her. but we throw our energy around as men when we have it, and to wait so long until you finally have sex, because that is just an incredible amount of intimacy to deal with it and connection at any age, and to then start to navigate that stuff. I guess you are making a strong choice to make create a lot of self-awareness now, but it, in practice, it comes when we put it together with women, or you know, with other men, if you know, we're that way inclined, and it's all welcome. But just to round up, like I think of a client of mine that was really hurt by a partner, and so she decided to be celibate for a year. But really, what she was doing was avoiding the potential pain of going back into that. And so self-awareness is one piece, like self-knowledge, but then actually putting it in practice means that we're going to make mistakes. And I see sex and intimacy and that kind of relationship as just the most incredible playground. And I think it's really, perhaps that sounds childish, that's the wrong word. It can be deep as well. And
dangerous, right? I'd say playground, yes, but dangerous playground as well, right? Like you could get burnt, you could hurt yourself, you could fall. It's not like with cotton padding, but then you know
yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's where you learn to know yourself as well, right? So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, and I think it's good to be on that. I mean, I'd actually like to just maybe challenge Frederick a little bit, because he comes from this Christian tradition. But I think Christ says himself something along the lines of, you've been told don't commit adultery, but I say to you, if you look at another woman, then you're committing adultery. So he actually equates the suppression and the kind of the desire, the envying, with the act himself. And so he actually brings these two things together. There's the story that really challenges me in the Christian tradition of the prodigal son, which is actually the story of two sons. There's the younger son who goes out and does all the crazy and wild things. Then there's the older son who stays at home and he's all responsible. He does everything right according to his father. And he's the good boy, right? And at the end of the story, there's a big party that's held. And who's in the party? Well, it's the younger son who came back to the father as well. And this is a big challenge for me as well in many ways, because now I've tried to become like, now I want to be an older son and take responsibility. But then there's such a big risk of this prideful, now I'm being a good boy and I'm a man with integrity. I'm an awakened man, or I'm a reimagined man, or I'm a conscious man. And as a result, I'm a Christian man, or whatever label it is that I give to it, right? And as a result, I end up just cutting myself from a source of life, which is, you know, which is what sexuality is. You know, if sexuality is a drive, I believe ultimately towards the divine, towards transcendence. It is this. It's a need for meeting and becoming one with something greater than ourselves. Then I believe then, you know, we need to be. It's entering into the unknown as well. And so we need to be careful, aware. Playing, but playing with a lot of care to not hurt ourselves and not hurt others and not hurt ourselves as well. Does that make sense to you guys? I'm seeing Richard nodding. Yeah, Marty.
Yeah, I like to react on that. And that is that what I was stating before, that communication and feeling your own system is so important, that communication. And that's also a kind of feeling yourself. Hey, what am I doing? Bye, Dietmar.
Thanks, Dietmar, for joining. Yeah, we realize you have to leave. So yeah, great. Thanks.
And where am I for myself? And what am I doing? Like what Richard was describing, how he was reacting on that woman. What am I avoiding? What am I trying to fix? What kind of pain am I avoiding? Is there something I don't want to feel or try to feel good or whatever? When I'm in this playground, I can be hurt and it can be painful. And that's something different than being on a chess club. That's a playground as well. And I can be hurt and I can be rejected. And it's a totally different game than being in a sexual intimate relationship. And it's the same thing. How can I communicate and how can I feel into my own system what is there? Only the forces are way bigger. It's really life force what is there. That's what
Frederick,
I want.
You got your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment to just lower my hand here. So what you said, and I think that there's a very important detail in the quote you shared about from Jesus, is that he didn't just say if you look at another woman, he said if you look at another woman with lust. And I think that's the key, because and actually to quote, I've been sitting and thinking, what is his name, but I can't remember. He was one of the elders in EMG 2021, and it's not Father Michael, but
Eli Buren.
Eli Buren, exactly. I was quite surprised to hear this actually from anybody not within the church, and this shows some of my ignorance, but he said, when you look at a woman, are you stealing with your eye, or are you giving with your eyes, or are you taking, or are you giving? And I thought that was a brilliant way of putting it, and kind of describing lust actually. What is it that you do with your heart? Where is your heart in that when you see that woman? Are you appreciating the beauty, or are you trying to steal it for yourself? Just wanted to add that in.
Yeah, that's a beautiful perspective. I think one of the things I talk about, I actually just made a video on our YouTube channel about like being a consumer or a creator. And I think, you know, that in so many ways, consumption, you know, it starts with food. And I think our inability and, you know, the loss of any big tradition for fasting, you know, all spiritual traditions normally had fasting as a central part of it. It's kind of being lost in the West. Many people do it for health reasons, and that's great, of course. But I also think that fasting as a practice, as a personal practice, to learn to consume, to control my urge to consume all the time. And that's with regard to food, but it's also regard to with sexuality and the way that I feed. And I think pornography is the ultimate addiction for the consumption society. It holds people in this role of being a passive consumer that's just consuming, consuming, consuming all the time, and not having to create, which is what our sexuality is about. It's about creation, right? Instead of just being. And so I think that stealing or giving is some way. And there's something about what you started with, Frederick, about seeing the other person or seeing the other as a whole person instead of an object for my satisfaction. And so I also think, you know, as Richard was rightly putting out, it's about transcending this idea of like giving and taking, like my needs and your needs. No, that's not what it's about, actually. It's about what are we when we are together? Something else arises that's together, which, you know, I think science can kind of point us in that right direction, but something happens there. Everybody's experienced that. In some form or another, it's when things come together. It's when at a physical level, when the brain is flushed with oxytocin, but it can happen in every kind of a different situation where there's this experience of transcendence that like, okay, there's something going on here, which is interesting and worthwhile. And it feeds that center of me that wants more life, I would say. Mm-hmm. So guys, should we have a final round of comments? I mean, we all, isn't there anyone in the audience who wants to add something? We have a couple of guys in there, or a question for the, we have the last 10 minutes now. Did I see a hand up? Yeah, go for it. Sylvester, great to see you again. It's been a little while.
Hi. Well, Marty, you've described some quite beautiful dynamics between a man and a woman, and this seems like the ideal. But I also see that this like requires a lot of vulnerability from each part. So how would you say that you maintain this vulnerability when if you've had multiple sexual partners throughout your life? And I think that's part of the Christian message as well, that you kind of guard your heart and save this vulnerability until you can give it to a person who has the same vulnerability, so you can meet each other at the same place. So how do you maintain this vulnerability or replenish your heart after a heartbreak or, you know, a vulnerable relationship that ended sour? Because I think that's the dangerous part when you damage your heart. how do you, you know, how do you replenish it so that you can meet another person with this vulnerability, which I think is essential between a man and a woman.
Very good question, Sylvester. I directly, when you're telling it, I feel how I only can answer this with an open heart. And I can tell another story. We had a this morning we had a meeting with our Babylon group, and I had a deep dive, and what came up there was a story of me with my father, of that I was not being seen, and how I take that into every relationship I had afterwards with my friends, within my relationship, and also with my current wife. We're together for 11 years. And to be aware of it, to be conscious, oh yeah, this is what happens to me from way, way back, and I'll take it with me in this relationship, and it prevents me from opening up. And what I have to do is feel the pain and still opening up, and still opening up. And you cannot do that on your own. You have to be together with a partner who is willing to open up her heart as well, and to be conscious of that. Hey, partner, hey, wife, hey, love, I'm opening up myself, and I want to be with myself, and I want to be in this connection. And it takes courage. It takes courage to do that. And every time you have to be aware that you step into a zone in which you can be hurt. There is no love without pain. It's going to be painful in some way. And even every time when you step into it, okay, I know I can get hurt, and I do it anyway. What Paul describes, hey, you have to go to a place where you cannot, where you both want to go. That means you have to step into that vulnerability. You cannot do it with a closed heart. To step in there, because you feel, okay, that's where I want to go. And it means that I can be rejected. And even knowing that I can be rejected, I step into this place. And doing that gives you the opportunity to meet the other in a way you never can meet the other without doing that. So that means, that is what I meant as well by knowing yourself. Oh yeah, there's my pain. I know I was rejected by my father, and I know I project that on my partner as well, that she's going to reject it. And even though I know it, I still open my heart and let myself be touched again. And that means that I can be rejected, but it means as well that I can come to a way of connection I never can reach on my own. And always stepping into that, in the possibility of being hurt, gives you the possibility of the transcend within the connection.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh. And Frederick, maybe I can ask you as well, also on the topic of vulnerability. You seem to be maybe on the search for a woman or open to meeting a woman. What if you're aware of this, what sort of signs are you looking for? Or, you know, what do you think could trigger you to open up and you know, allow this vulnerability to flow? Because it doesn't seem like an easy task finding someone that you can really, you know, share this level of vulnerability with when you've managed to hold your chastity until now. That's a, you know, I imagine there's some deep vulnerability that you haven't shared with any other human on this earth yet, and that's absolutely precious. So I imagine you know, how are you how have you managed to guard yourself until now, and what are you looking for to, you know, let down your guard, if that makes sense?
Well, that's a good question, a deep one.
Awful question.
It's almost like I'm not sure it's possible for me to answer it, but what I'm looking for in a woman is a woman that will be with me in that purpose of life, and that is part of why I put a very heavy limit on the types of women that I can date, because I do want to find a woman who also shares my worldview and my view on what the purpose of existence is within the Christian sphere, so to say. And that narrows the pool of potential women down quite a lot in Denmark. So I think if I find the woman that does agree with these things, it I'm not saying that she has to also have been chaste, so to speak, her whole life. It's not a requirement for me. Then I think I have preferences like any other man has, and those also play a part in selecting. So I think that maybe answers part of your question, but you also asked something else. I can't remember.
Yeah, but we're getting to time, guys. We have 2 minutes left. So yeah,
you seem like you're confident that your heart will do the selecting. that answers the question plenty.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yes and no, because the Bible also says that our hearts are deceptive.
Yeah.
So I also try to use my brain as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I would love to add one remark.
Yeah, go for it, Marty. Last word for you.
Is that even when you're not in a relationship, in an intimate relationship, you can be vulnerable as well and practice the vulnerability and being open to everybody in the world. That probably goes not so deep with an intimate partner, but you can practice vulnerability and be strong in that, in the whole world, I hope.
Thanks, guys, for that. Thank you, Sylvester, for really, really insightful and beautiful questions that I thought really opened up the discussion at the end. Yeah, that was greatly appreciated. And thank you all for joining into the conversation here. Much appreciated. I have plenty of stuff that I'm going to have to think about from this and taking the conversation forward and trying to understand how to guide this in the right way. So we'll definitely be having more opportunities to discuss this topic in different types of forums. So thanks a lot, everybody. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Yeah.
Bye.
You've been listening to Conversations on Masculinity with Manifesto. We enjoy good discussions, but far more importantly, we are a real community with plenty of opportunities for you to engage online and in person. So check out our website on manifesto.com to learn more. And if you enjoyed the content here, then please share this podcast with a friend. Thanks.